When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Click, 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 click. Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is gayish.
That won't make sense until the podcast that's basically verbal exhibitionism.
Look at my dick. Listen, wow. Listen to my dick. I don't
wait. Let's all listen to Mike's dick.
Roar.
That's what the Katy Perry song Roar is about.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today, best episode ever already.
So
Kyle,
far, we're going to talk about roller coasters.
We're going to talk about roller coasters.
As requested
by Gap Bridger,
yeah.
John Crawley.
Yeah.
But first, here's the news.
Damn, getting fucking into it. We got shit to do. We got places to be. We got rides to ride.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News. News. News.
Okay, news the first. This Angela Bassett did the thing rap is like very funny to me.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. So maybe we should find a clip of it so that it actually makes sense because I have not heard the rap yet.
Oh.
But apparently Ariana DeBose, and I don't know who that is, except that she's queer.
And an Oscar award winner, apparently.
Yeah. Yep. And she did a rap at the BAFTA Awards. And in that includes the line, Angela Bassett did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lizzo brought it up at her concert just a couple of nights later. And then Angela Bassett, who won a NAACP Image Award, then said, I guess I did the thing. So Angela Bassett did the thing is now like gay Twitter is like up in arms about how amazing it is and campy and like, but apparently the rap itself is like kind of hard to watch because it's cringy.
That entire thing, like this trend was a roller coaster in and of itself. It was like, ooh, it was weird. Some people were like having fun with it in the audience. Some weren't. Then it like came back around and everyone was like, you know what? This is so bad. It's cool now. Or so, like it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so like the bad part included Ariana DeBose deactivating her Twitter.
Yeah.
Because like, people hated it that much, I guess.
God, that is my worst fear. Like, yeah. I take a big risk and everyone's like, oh, you did very bad and we all hate it. And then I would also be like, okay, I'm not on any social anymore. Bye.
It's interesting. Because you would think, like, I don't know. Haters are going to hate no matter what, right?
Yeah, that's what Taylor Swift has been saying all along. God,
fuck her. Last Sunday she did the thing. On Monday deactivated her Twitter, and then on Saturday, then on the radio, she did a radio interview and said gay Twitter seemed to like it. But, yeah, and anyway, it's a happy ending. Let's hear that rap, and then here we go.
Wait, we waited to play it just then?
No, you can play it whenever you want to. I don't care.
Angela Bassett did the thing. Viola Davis, my woman king. Blanche Kate, you're a genius. And Jamie Lee, you are all of us.
News the second. I'm doing a shit sandwich today. So are you ready? Oh. Are you ready for the shit part?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to talk about this this law that they're considering in Florida. So basically, in a nutshell, this bill, which is House Bill 991, introduced by Florida Representative Alex Andrade, a Republican, fucking shocker.
Yeah.
And they are changing the state's defamation laws in such a way that basically accusing someone else of homophobia or transphobia is defamation.
Oh, I saw. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you do something homophobic, like, I don't know, kick me out of your cake shop because you don't want to make no gay wedding cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, that's homophobic. You can now sue me for $35,000 or more under this new law because calling you homophobic is illegal. Now, every First Amendment lawyer in the country that has weighed in on this so far has said there's absolutely fucking no way that this is constitutional, but they're trying it anyway. Yeah.
They love the First Amendment unless it's something that they don't, unless they don't like it, then what, you know, like it's just nothing. They have no policies or values or anything. They're just devoid of any kind of caring or value or.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm just so over every Republican.
And this bill goes slightly further even and makes it more problematic, perhaps constitutionally, by saying that the truth of the statement does not matter. If you did actual homophobic shit and I call you homophobic, I'm in the wrong under the terms of this bill if it moves forward.
My God, they care about truth now?
Yeah, well, you know. And it's the same thing, like white people, like they hate being called racist more than they hate racism.
Yes.
They hate being called homophobic more than they hate homophobia.
Republicans and white people like want to be oppressed so badly. They want they think being oppressed is like cool or hip now, and they believe that they don't understand what it actually feels like, so they think that being called a name once is what oppression is.
Yeah
So they're like, no, I'm the oppressed one because you called me a name, like, right. It's just not, you don't get it. You don't know what this feels like or is.
Yep And it's like the only way they want to be Christ-like is to be a martyr.
Yeah, without actually doing like good shit or caring about people.
Yep. Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Do you think some of our Republican listeners still listen? Do you think they've made it here?
I don't know. We had quite a few that made when we did our survey that it left notes saying that like they don't like this part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, make your party stop being shitty to us. Like, yeah. I think you got to fix it, not us.
Yep. You religious folks out there that hate the things we say about religion, make your religion not suck.
Yeah. And yeah.
Republicans that listen to us, why? But also, make your party not suck.
Yeah.
Matthew Schaefer, the media law chair for the New York City Bar Association, tweeted, quote, "I've been practicing First Amendment law for about 10 years. I've never seen anything like this proposed for Florida law and this section in particular. This is precisely the concern of rolling back limits on libel. States will use libel to bend the public dialogue to their own will." And that's what's going on. That's the undercurrent of all of this is being able to control what people say. And I think this goes back to this thing that's come up on the show a few times here recently of like, they know that they have lost the hearts and minds of the country, and they're going to go out kicking and screaming. They are.
This is what I will say for Republicans. They use every available avenue. And so go the legal route, fine. Go, you know, whatever option they have, they will exploit it to as far as they can.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And DeSantis needs points because he's running for president. More like ridiculous, like right wing pandering drama, bullshit, anger, fear mongering he can do.
Yeah.
This is a good avenue for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck that guy. Fuck that state. Fuck everything, Kyle.
Fuck
I'm in
everything.
A mood. Let's make the episode a roller coaster in and of itself. And this is the scary part, or the part, I don't know.
Right before we drop, or?
Yeah, we're going to scream and have fun now.
Okay.
News the third.
Wow.
Gucci.
Okay.
Gucci.
Sure.
Has released a new campaign promoting their fragrance called Guilty. And the new
spokesperson, Donald Trump.
Spokesperson, Elliot Page.
Shut the fuck up.
Elliot Page is the new face of Gucci. His fans are, of course, really excited about it. He will appear across their upcoming campaign to be released in March. So coming up here in a couple of weeks. But the brand did release a teaser on their Instagram. And, he will star alongside a dollar sign AP Rocky and Julia Garner.
Yes.
I don't know who ASAP Rocky is.
No, it's pronounced a dollar sign AP. You were right the first time.
Key dollar sign ha.
Dollar sign ha. There's no dollar sign in it anymore.
Oh.
She's an adult now.
Has she considered putting it back?
Maybe. We're all waiting for the Kesha Renaissance when the dollar sign comes back.
Oh, God. Anyway, he's absolutely adorable. He appears in a Hawaiian shirt, making eyes at the camera, and I'm here for it. And he also announced last year that he's going to be releasing a memoir.
Oh.
That's coming up this June, just in time for Pride. and it's called Page Boy. And he said, quote, writing a book has come up a few times over the years, but it never felt right. And quite frankly, it didn't feel possible. I could barely sit still, let alone focus long enough to complete such a task. But like a lot of trans folks encounter, like coming out the other side of transition and living more authentically, he said, quote, I can finally be with myself in this body and share that story with the world. So, yeah. And of course, Umbrella Academy is still going, I guess.
Is it?
He just, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
That's cool.
The last season was good. Oh. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Anyway, just like Elliot Page is a rock star and crushing it. And now is like, his face is going to be the face of Gucci, which I think is just so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That level of visibility for trans people, especially trans masculine people. I feel like trans feminine people have had more visibility lately in like media, like a lot more actresses and appearances like that. I feel like there are less trans mask folks in like mainstream media, and he's a major exception to that, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
That's the news.
That's the news. Well, we are all caught up on our Patreon naming. So thank you to John Crowley for requesting this episode. We'll just keep thanking you a whole bunch.
Yeah.
If you want to have us do an episode, if we haven't done an episode topic, then pay us.
Yeah.
Give us money and we'll do your topic.
Yes.
So if you, and if you want bonus episodes, bonus content, support us, help us do things like maybe do a tour, help us do more shit, then go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast. It's fun.
Yeah. And hey.
Hey.
If we owe you stuff, tell us.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a gap bridger and we haven't had our little chat about what you want your episode to be, like, call me.
Yeah, call, yeah. check your Patreon messages, because we always hear people say like, oh, I didn't know there was a message function on Patreon. Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is. Open that app.
Open that app. Do you want to talk about roller coasters?
Let's talk about roller coasters. And I was going to talk about the history of roller coasters.
No, wait.
And you said you're going to start with something.
What? So guys, I just want you to know, if I shut down my Instagram, do not call the cops. I don't ever be a roller coaster. I got this dress as well. Never be a roller coaster.
What did I just watch?
Okay. You watched an avant-garde film created and produced by Britney Spears. That was an Instagram video that Britney Spears posted at like 4 days ago. And I was watching it because I watch everything because I'm just like, I'm fascinated and upset because I'm me, as we all know. And then she screamed, "Don't be a roller coaster." She runs across the screen and I was like, how does she know we're doing this episode week?
Yeah, I swear,
we've been doing episodes, and then all of a sudden something will come up in the news about that topic, and then, like, it's just life wants us to do this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Or we hired somebody that makes us have our shit together.
John Crowley hired us to do this. True.
Yeah. Okay. I have many questions. Can I ask?
Yeah, them
now?
Sure.
What the fuck?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
The one. Okay.
Okay. Number two. Do you realize that you had to turn the phone around and show me who was speaking for me to know it was Britney Spears?
Absolutely.
Because of whatever fucked up cockamamie accent that was?
Yes, I do know that.
Has she had a recent head injury? Because there is a thing where like people will sometimes get hit in the head with a heavy object and then wake up with an accent or the ability to speak a language that they didn't know.
As we know from the Scream and Shout song, she sometimes goes British.
Okay.
So there is history here.
Yeah, okay.
This is not a new thing.
Madonna kind of did that too, a little bit, and maybe that's like some kind of communicable disease that happens among pop stars.
I was thinking it was an homage. I think Britney is just kind of channeling her Madonna, and
everyone socially distance from your pop stars because you might end up British.
She also mentioned she shut down her Instagram and people called
the cops
on her. Apparently the media not too long ago reported that she was dead, and so she made her post that was like, "I'm not dead."
Yeah.
Anyway, that entire video was a roller coaster ride if you really think about it.
Absolutely. And okay. And then number three.
Okay.
Is I assume she has lots of clothes. Nothing seemed particularly amazing about that dress, but like she seems very excited.
She's very excited.
Okay.
You're allowed to be excited about your new dress.
I mean, I like it when people send me shit.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. Post office box 1985.
19882, Kyle.
Seattle, Washington.
98109. Yeah.
Send us a dress.
Yeah. Postage required. Okay. I thought I liked roller coasters until you subjected me to this video that we just watched.
This ruined roller coasters for you.
How do you feel about roller coasters?
Oh, I like them.
Yeah.
They're fun. I have not been on. I cannot think of the last time I was on a roller coaster or at an amusement park. So it's not something I like go and do. But I love roller coasters. They're blast.
I agree. I really enjoy amusement rides in general. And especially when I was younger, like I loved going to the fair and like almost dying in those super dangerous carny rides. Mm-hmm. And can we say carny?
I don't know. That does feel like vaguely like offensive, but I'm not sure why. Yeah.
Amusement park operators.
Sure. I guess.
I used to love the Zipper, which is not a roller coaster, that's the one where like you're in a car and it spins around, but it also moves around a big thing that moves around.
Yeah, like the tea kettles,
not except the kettle. In the tea air, cups. Not on the ground,
oh.
Up in the air. So you do lots of like, I don't know. It feels like you're gonna maybe vomit.
Yeah.
I have not vomited. Do you get motion sick?
No.
They don't make you feel ill or anything.
No. Do you?
No. I do. I do pretty great. I'm really fortunate that way. I can like read a book in a car, and I know a lot of people.
Me too. I didn't like know that was a thing people didn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know this topic was gay until
John told us that.
And since then, I've brought it up a couple times to different people, and like, it's the weirdest thing. I think this is like one of the weirdest topics we've done, because like one in five of your gay friends will be like either I've not said it this to someone and then like, oh yeah, I'm a big coaster head or whatever, but people I bring this up to are like, oh, I know a roller coaster gay, or like,
yeah,
like every few people is like, oh, absolutely, it's a gay thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had no idea about that.
Yeah, me neither. And we have just at dinner last night, we saw a couple of coaster gays on social media who are hot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's some hot coaster guys. I could get into roller coasters for a hot guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'd be fine faking it.
Get railed on the rails.
Ride them rails.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you about the history of roller coasters. Basically, it's Russia's fault.
Oh, okay.
Just like everything else, but
just like World War III.
Yeah. No. So apparently, the origins of roller coasters are usually traced back to 18th century Russia and these ice slides that they made. Of course, you know.
That's the most Russian sounding thing I've ever heard.
Yep.
Like a human luge.
Yeah.
I guess that's just a luge.
They would take hills of snow and they would add wooden support beams to them so that they didn't kill anybody, mostly. And then they would sled or wheel carts down these snow banks. So it was like advanced snow sledding, Russian style. Then it of course moved on from that to have mostly railroad tracks, and they would build the whole thing out of wood and not require the ice part. Those were all called Russian mountains, these hills of ice that they threw people off in a controlled way, which is important only because in other languages, the word for roller coaster is Russian mountain.
Huh.
Yeah, like Spanish, La Montaña Rusa. And anyway, but then the Russian term for roller coaster is American mountain, Amerikanskaya Gorky. So,
huh. Why did they call it after us when they did it?
Because although it has its origins in Europe, Americans did the coaster thing, fucking ballistic, huge style.
They were like, we can build a taller thing because that's like all we care about is like, can we make a bigger version of whatever?
Yep, exactly right. Exactly right. Apparently, so Catherine the Great really liked these things and had one of these like snow slide things built at one of her palaces.
Believe it or not, I did not think Catherine the Great was going to come up this episode.
Yeah, me neither. Did you know she fucked?
Really?
Yes.
On the coaster?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe.
On the snow slide?
Maybe.
Slide I
wouldn't
that
put it past
dick.
Her. But yeah, she's like well known for just like banging her way across Europe. And
wow, feminism.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, it's really intense to me. Her sex life is like pretty great.
Oh.
And may or may not have been bisexual. That's that's disputed. You know, but history has this way of filtering out all of the queer shit.
Yeah.
And so all we remember is like the list of dudes that she fucked and then gave positions to in the government. But also that also may have included not just dudes. Well, more on that mystery later, I think. I don't know.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
So there's also a influence from roller coasters of, there was this mining company called the Mach Chunk Railroad. And they built a railway just to get coal out of a mine. So oh. that, you know, like they put the coal in the cart and send it on its way. They ran out of coal, so they're like, what the fuck do we do now? We've got this like massive ass railroad that we built. So about a year after the coal mine closed, they started just like charging people money to ride the coal miner carts around. And
makes sense.
Turned out that people fucking loved it.
Yeah.
That it was, they were individually like driven by a brakeman who would like safely, you know, so people couldn't just like go as fast as they wanted to or whatever. And but yeah, so it was very, very popular, and that popularity then led to like, let's invest money and make these things ridiculous. And that's when you start seeing like loop-de-loops and a whole bunch of stuff. Coney Island had a bunch of attractions, and you know, pushed the idea of rides and roller coasters into the American consciousness. About the same time over in Europe, though, and this is where I told you when we were planning for the episode that I was going to wildly speculate about the sexuality of some people. So first, Catherine the Great, but second, this guy named Joseph Aller, and he built Les Montagnes Russes à Bellevue. That's my best French attempt, everyone. But it was a permanent roller coaster that was 200 meters long, and it was in the form of a double eight. And later they built onto 16. It more and made four figure eight shaped loops. But anyway, this dude, Joseph Aller, and I think I'm saying that right because he was actually Spanish, or he's from Catalonia. But you see, he was super into roller coasters, built this giant ass cool roller coaster in Paris, but also he, as far as I can tell, never married, died alone. And he and this dude, Charles Zidler, also never married, died alone, are the ones that opened the famous cabaret Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge had to be started by a gay dude.
This is my wild speculation,
yeah,
Kyle.
That's not so wild. I think that's just regular speculation at that point.
And our intense fascination with theater, especially if it's kind of naked, was born. So the dude that started Moulin Rouge also was super into roller coasters and built a really big famous one in Paris. And I'm calling it now. He's super gay.
Yeah.
Let's see. But yeah, like I said, Americans were the ones that really took it to the next level. But the Great Depression sort of stopped that. Like a lot of things, you know, the Great Depression killed the momentum.
Yeah,
because people didn't have the money to spend on amusement park rides, there was just less disposable income, and then it sort of came back. The Wikipedia article anyway says 1972 is when the modern era started, when the Racer opened. That's the name of a roller coaster opened at Kings Island amusement park in Ohio. So all of those roller coasters were built out of wood roller coasters with like some support from other materials, but the whole history of roller coasters is primarily wooden freestanding roller coasters. And but Disneyland gets the credit for using steel. So in 1959 they started. That's when the Matterhorn started. The Matterhorn bobsleds, and that was the first roller coaster that used a tubular steel track, which that let you do things like corkscrews and go in wacky weird directions, because wood can only bend so much and maintain its strength. But Disneyland is like that's like pioneer in making steel tracks that could do the more like crazy movements and at higher velocity. And so I don't know, I don't think of, when I think about roller coasters, I think of like Six Flags or whatever. I don't really think of Disneyland because of all of like the shit that's on it. Like technically Pirates of the Caribbean, Caribbean. That ride is a roller coaster. Sort of, right? Like there's a couple of drops to it. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out like what the fuck, like how do you make it? What's the difference between a ride and a roller coaster? But Disneyland definitely has both. Like Space Mountain is a roller coaster in the dark.
Yeah. But you're right. I think of Disney as like bigger, like roller coasters are a thing that is available there. And there's a bunch of other shit that they do. Yeah, you're right. I think of Six Flags. I think of that kind of amusement park.
Yep. Well, Disney gets a lot of credit, I guess, for the technology behind the modern roller coaster era.
That makes sense.
And utilizing steel. That's mostly all I had. I just wanted to say that Moulin Rouge dude is definitely a gay.
Yeah. Him and his roommate or whatever.
Yeah. What do you got, Kyle? You have any gata on roller coasters? Is it a gay thing? No? Okay, great.
Your turn.
Great segment.
So what I did is I, as I was like looking up stuff, there's not a lot that I found that it was like, here is this explicitly gay thing about it, but gay stuff kept showing up. So as I was looking stuff up, I basically just wrote down things about it that people said of why it's kind of gay or quotes that people said in articles, like gay people writing about it or whatever. So I'm just going to go through some of the reasons this is kind of gay.
Okay.
One thing that some people have said is that roller coasters are gay because of the double income, no kids thing that gays might have. Then again, someone on Reddit said it's a good theory, but most enthusiasts start when they are young, before they have disposable income that people without kids don't have. So it does. This does seem like, from what I've seen, I watched a 30-minute documentary on roller coasters.
Yeah.
And it does seem like it's a thing that starts when you're a kid that, you know, we talked about it too, like memories of going to like enjoying roller coasters and as a kid doing this. And then I think some people hold on to that and continue that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I agree with whoever this rando Reddit person is that there's more to it than just, you know, and having disposable income is helpful.
Okay. I agree. Although like Disney has gotten so expensive. I think that there's certain socioeconomic factors at play, right?
Like absolutely.
And I don't think there's any escaping that, but
yeah.
I hope I'm not stealing your thunder. I think it's because being a queer person is just so fucking difficult that at least for the 90 seconds that you're on a roller coaster, you like it's hard to have existential dread when you're screaming.
Yes.
And so like it just gets you out of your head for a little bit, and like you get to just be a adrenaline juiced up mammal for a while and not have to carry the weight that society puts on us for being queer people.
I think there's absolutely something to that. I think it's almost like I'm working on mindfulness and therapy. Like I'm working on like being in moments, reducing anxiety, not like focusing on here and now. And that's a way to like, as soon as that thing drops, like you're not thinking about what's for dinner tonight or whatever legislation is happening or what weird thing I'm going to post on Instagram that's not going to get enough likes. It's just like, I think there's absolutely something to that.
Which we would then see, I think, gays being attracted to other thrill-seeking type
drugs,
activities,
and drugs.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a thrill-seeking.
I don't know why I want to talk about horror film gays, but fucking Dan is not the only person who's gay that is like all about the horror movies. And I wonder if there's something about being scared or jump scares that's also in this like weird soothing space.
Interesting. When I didn't think about it until you mentioned horror films make sense to me of like, we're more used to the horrors of life. So like I wonder if roller coasters have any kind of similarity in watching the documentary. The documentary was made by, I fucking wrote this down, but I started going out of order. Oh, by Australian daddy bear, Malcolm Burt. There's a documentary called Signature Attraction that he made. And there are a lot of people that are, it's not a gay specific, like he doesn't mention, he does in it talk about like, I didn't fit in, or I was like a fat kid and I was like, you know, so he talked about things that are indirectly related to being gay. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the phrase Australian daddy bear?
Sure.
But, like, I'm super into it.
You're into Australian daddy bear?
And I wouldn't think that would be my thing, but now I want one.
We're coming for you, Australia. I mean, they have wildlife that'll kill you. I want to almost get murdered by an Australian daddy bear. Mm-hmm. That sounds fun. What are we talking about? Okay.
The documentary.
Sure. It was interesting to watch, and just like, you know, I would have never, except for this episode, watched anything about roller coasters. But there were also some people that were like, it parallels our lives, because what is life but a roller coaster? They didn't say that, but there were just a bunch of people making metaphors out of roller coasters. And I was like, okay, we're stretching a little bit. Maybe. Okay. But maybe it's true for them. Someone also mentioned on an article on them.us by Stephen Bloom. There's an overlap with the BDSM scene.
What?
By saying, quote, there's an obvious parallel between strapping yourself into a coaster seat and strapping yourself into something else.
What?
Obvious parallel. I don't think that's true, Stephen Bloom. I wouldn't have made that parallel myself.
Sometimes a cigar is just a dick.
Yeah, I don't know if I am. Someone on Reddit, again, like, none of this is like directly gay. Someone on Reddit said, I went on a TPR, which is a theme park review trip in 2011. They have like their own like lingo. Oh, and apparently coaster. I was talking to my cousin who apparently went on a date with a coaster gay, and they use coaster as a verb.
Yeah.
They have like their own lingo. They have a coaster count, but which is like your body count for coasters.
Sure. Yeah. I wonder if there's like, is there another, a sub count of that, of like your body count on a coaster? Like, how many people have you fucked on a roller coaster?
Man, it's so sad that mine is zero.
Yeah. Let's fix that.
So far, we're going to go to Australia. We're going to pick up an Australian daddy bear. We're going to bring him to the U.S. We're going to fuck on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oh, dreams.
Yeah.
Okay. I am.
And you said you had no plans for 2023.
I know. New life goals. I went on a theme park review trip in 2011, and I'd say about 40% of the guys were gay. So that's just one person posting that. Like, but again, that idea keeps coming up of like disproportionately, people keep noticing disproportionately high number of gays being at these theme parks. What else? On parkjourney.com, RD wrote an article and said it's the gayest hobby around. This is actually kind of what you were saying. There is an American Coaster Enthusiast. That's an organization. So ACE, not asexual, but Tim Baldwin, the communications lead for ACE, said, one great thing about being on a roller coaster is there is no appropriate behavior. How many hobbies are there in which screaming is an appropriate response? So
yeah,
that's, you know, what you're talking about. Back to Stephen Bloom on the them.us article, I wrote down, quote, you see some folks on Grindr when you're first entering the park, but eventually people put their phones away and just focus on having fun together.
Huh.
I could see their what?
It's just like the idea of cruising at a theme park is just really interesting now.
Mike, you show up in like a Denny's and you're on Grindr seeing who's around. Like, you're like, I would think that would be the first thing you would do when you walk into a theme park is get on the apps.
Well, obvi.
Yeah. So don't act so surprised.
It never ceases to amaze me the places that gay dudes are having sex, and like, I'm just totally oblivious to it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I like having sex in my bed or on the floor. This is not what we're talking about. On Reddit, someone talked about a straight user posted that, quote, I used to be made fun of for being gay for roller coasters.
Gay for roller coasters?
I just think that's so funny. I used to be made.
Check out the ass on that coaster.
Damn, look at those curves. Kids are so dumb. You're so gay for roller coasters, dude. What a dumb. Okay. I don't know why I think that's so funny. I needed more sleep. Okay. I used to be made fun of for being gay for roller coasters or that weird nerd guy or whatever. Meanwhile, gay people are probably used to being made fun of for being gay, so they're more willing to be super obsessive about what they like. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. That comment speaks to what we've said about a lot of other things. If you are, when you're gay, you already broke a norm, so you're allowed to just be interested in what you're interested in. And I think we've talked about this for like nerdy shit, like D&D, like I don't have to go through the like, oh, I'm, you know, weird and I have to decide how much to pursue this, or like you can just kind of be a nerd because you're already going to be made fun of and not fit in.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't have connected this to that same kind of theme or topic of like, you can just be obsessed with this, even though people make fun of you because you're already gay.
Is that why Comic-Con is so gay? There are a lot of gays at Comic-Con and events like it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a similar, like I'm already dealing with the gay thing. Like, I can do what I want. Here I go.
I mean, I think the same thing for the furry community. Like, again, furry's not specifically gay, but, you know, we know that they are that with data. We know that they are overrepresented there. So, like, that... It's a cool thing about being gay, like being able to be into what you're into,
yeah,
and kind of go with it. So,
yep. Maybe that Australian daddy bear can be in a furry suit.
Oh,
and we can, after we're done with the roller coaster, and we can go to Comic-Con.
You're gonna get into furry. we'll do every single thing all at once. In Australian Daddy Bear's documentary, I wrote down this quote because I really liked it. Professor Dana Anderson said, "I know it's not normal. And I know it's not typical or common. And I think to an extent, I'm probably still that smallish child who feels he needs to be doing more what is common or expected and not feeling things as acutely. And that is part of my adulthood. But I am so enthralled by things like amusement parks. It's hard to hide." And the last thing I will say is back to Reddit, which I just thought this was kind of beautiful, is someone said that roller coasters are theatrically inclined sort of escapism.
Yep.
Which it is like, like a lot of things I didn't think about until I read, like, it is like a little bit theatrical, like a little bit like campy, a little bit like,
yeah,
you know, when you go to theme parks, it's like, yeah.
Although like, yeah, like circus motifs and like, you know, bright lights and flashy colors and and
people in costumes and screaming. Yeah. So I don't know. This is why this was such a weird topic. None of that is explicitly gay, but it has gay overtones and lots of gays involved in it and gays that like it. I really think like people listening, like ask five of your gay friends, and I bet you one of them will know a roller coaster gay.
Yeah. A coaster gay. Using it as an intransitive verb, I'm just not down with that. Like,
do shot.
Yeah. You want to get together next weekend and coaster?
Let's coaster, dude.
Barf. No, don't do that.
Coaster, I barely know her.
Oh, I forgot to mention that I think if people want one of the cool websites that I came across that had an excellent big history of roller coasters is ultimaterollercoaster.com. They have a whole section.
You want to read more on the history of coasters?
Yeah. I wonder if they have any of this stuff that you're talking about. It's my turn, right?
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about, I don't know how to say his name.
Oh.
It's my turn to not know how to say something.
Yay. Do it.
I'm going to say Julijonas Urbonas, who's
not a name,
who's Lithuanian. He is or was a PhD candidate at the Royal College of Art in London in 2010 when he designed the euthanasia coaster. Are you familiar with this? Have you heard of this?
I've heard it, but I know. Oh, I think I've seen it like a design for something, but yeah.
Yeah, it has one ridiculous peak at the beginning and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 loops right after it. And so it's a steep, steep angled lift that takes you 1,600 feet to the top. So that's like, what, a quarter mile?
Damn.
And then it takes a few minutes to get up there. And then a 1,600 foot drop that would take you up to 220 miles per hour. Oh, it's never been built, by the way. It's not
like this
thing
is theoretical.
Yeah, this doesn't actually exist. And then it goes into 7 inversions with a smaller diameter than the one before. And that's how it gets up to the 10G centrifugal force that would kill you. So there's a reason, like when test pilots get into that machine and they spin them around and then they pass out, mm-hmm. like your brain blood pressure can only like stand so much before it, like it's not great, and 10 G's will kill you.
Wow.
So the design is hilarious. I think this is hilarious.
Sure, let's bring some joy to the euthanasia coaster.
After a sharp right-hand turn, the train enters a straight where unloading of corpses could begin.
I didn't think about the part after. Yeah. Poor operators, like, whelp.
Yep.
I wonder if your face, like, is, like, going to be stuck in a screaming, like...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think rigor mortis would have set in just like 60 seconds or whatever. But
Mike, what? Let me have this.
Okay.
I don't know if I take comfort in the idea of all the corpses have like yelling faces.
Oh, my God. John Allen, who was the president of the Philadelphia Toboggan Company, said that he thought that the ultimate roller coaster was one that, quote, sends out 24 people and they all come back dead. And that's what he decided to do this design. But this dude, Julionis, I think it's Julionis. Julionis, that's not the only ridiculous thing that he's designed. Also, when I've watched videos of this dude, he doesn't seem not gay.
Okay.
So more wild speculation. Yes.
This whole thing is just going to be like vaguely gay, but we can't put our finger on it or in it.
He did some work with or for the CCCB, which is the Center of Contemporary Culture in Barcelona, but it's in Spanish. Anyway, he also invented a thing called the cum spin.
What? No, I invented that first. I need to sue him.
What is the cum spin for you, Kyle?
Oh, no. I didn't want gurgle a little bit.
I didn't want sound effects. Oh, God. Okay.
It spins around in my mouth. It's like tasting a fine whiskey, you know? You want to, like, really savor it.
God.
I hope my dad isn't listening to this.
God. Okay, so here's the description. December 11th of 2015, this posted. Cum spin.
Spell cum spin.
C-U-M.
No, oh.
S-P-I-N.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Okay, I was joking. Interesting.
Cum spin is a proposal for an orgasm-enhancing funfair machine.
Funfair machine.
It's based on the principle of a centrifuge, it exposes the love writers to variable gravitational forces. There are 8 spherical capsules, and the lovers control the centripetal force by changing the distance between the axis and the capsule. The farther from the axis, the greater the force pushes them against the wall. Coordinating movements with those forces could enable controlled blood flow, which could heighten sensations. Directing the blood to the lower extremities would cause the sudden loss of oxygen to the brain, accompanied by euphoria. The latter, in tandem with orgasm, creates a sensation beyond any definition of pleasure.
You just described my kink.
A hypergravitational orgasm. This whole thing is a choke me daddy machine without the choking by using like the, oh my God.
10 G's in my dick.
Yeah, the Australian bear daddy. You're going to have to take him on the cum spin.
He probably knows about it. He's more in it than I am.
Yeah. But yeah, cum spin spelled the correct way.
Wow.
C-U-M.
I thought this was like going to, like, that's a funny name, but no, it really is about it. That's it is specifically a sexual
this
is the weirdest thing that has ever come up on this show.
I love this guy. I just think that he is sick and twisted and amazing. And yeah, that's it. This whole segment was just so that I could talk about the cum spin. Which,
man,
I,
nothing. How could I follow that, Mike? Why did you do this to me? What more am I going to talk about than the cum spin for the rest of my life? This is all I want to talk about is the cum spin.
It's problematic as a ride because like it's invented to make orgasms happen and be better. Like, can you imagine operating that ride? You got to wash it out when they're done. Like after you've spun the cum out of some people.
I mean, what's better, a dead body or cum stains? You know, I'd pick the cum any day. The
weirdest amusement park ever designed by this dude.
okay, I guess I'm going to keep talking. Boy, but I won't. But my, you know, my mind will be still on cum spins. Yep.
The roller coaster continues. We corpses. That's, you know, down, yeah, down, and now here we go.
And then you gave
right
me
cum spin.
Okay. I'm going to talk about a couple of the events associated with roller coasters.
Okay, great.
Apparently, back to the Them.us article by Stephen Bloom. They started the article by describing that Alaska Thunderfuck performed the song Your Makeup Is Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Your Makeup Is Terrible.
You know this song?
Absolutely.
Wow, I didn't get it to the week.
I know, I knew a drag queen thing.
Wow, I didn't know this song. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. Your makeup is terrible. But I love you anyway. We did, in preparation for this episode, listen to the Erika Jayne song, Roller Coaster, which is not bad enough to be so bad it's good. Mm. It's not good enough to be so bad it's good. It's bad, is what I'm saying. It's so bad. Anyway, Alaska Thunderfug, I like shitty music, and this didn't do it for me. Okay, Alaska Thunderfug performed at Out at the Mountain at Six Flags Magic Mountain. That is apparently an event that Stephen described it as rowdier than the Disney, like, gay events. They have drag queens, they have alcohol, it goes into the night. And a big thing is it is an official event for Out at the Mountain.
Oh, okay. Unlike like Disney, the Gay Days is just kind of like under the radar, not really a thing.
Yep.
But we make it a thing.
Yep.
Any bar's a gay bar if you bring enough friends, Kyle.
Yep. Exactly. That's exactly what we do, which is, it's weird that Gay Days is not an official thing. I can't tell if it's homophobic or not because it seems like...
That's a sentence you usually know the answer to.
Yeah, I guess when you're asking, well, I don't know, I might be charged $35,000 for accusing Disney of being homophobic these days.
Yeah.
This podcast not available in Tennessee or wherever.
That law? Law? They're actually trying to make it so that it does cross state lines.
Like
you could get sued in Florida court for, what you're saying is part of the proposal. Go ahead, please.
Man, I would.
This is no longer the news.
This is no longer the news. Then why is the news theme song playing?
Shut your mouth hole.
Michael.
Best episode
focus.
Ever.
Michael Johnson, we're focusing. So Gay Days is not for Disney. That's where all the gays show up at the park. But I don't know if they do any kind of like event. Or like this kind of thing for any group during regular park hours.
Uh-huh.
So it might actually be a blanket like thing across the board, not specific to like Gay Days.
Okay.
Disney, however, does sell Rainbow Pride merchandise. They have special food on the menu. Like they absolutely make their money off of it. That's part of the annoying thing is like, it's both not official and they're going to fucking sell rainbow shit to us homosexuals.
Yeah, sure. Great. There are a bunch of current and former Disney employees in the WoW Guild. I'm definitely going to talk to them about this tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't mention. So the next Out at the Mountain at Six Flags Magic Mountain is this year at August 18th. The next Gay Days for Disney is September 22nd to 24th.
Hmm?
And the last event is ACE, the American Coaster Enthusiasts, have CoasterCon.
CoasterCon. What are you laughing?
I don't know. I am hungover and just everything is funny. And this is like Coaster Con. Of course there's a Coaster Con. Like, sure. But it's usually the third or fourth week in June.
Oh, that's when Pride is.
That's Pride. This is, again, like, I keep saying it. Like, it's in the ballpark of gayness.
Yeah. Putting the anus in gayness. I don't know.
Come spin. Okay. It's a 5 to 7 day event of they have exclusive coaster times. They do what? Just,
I caught your weird sense of humor now.
All of this is so weird. I support it. Support you, coaster gays. I support coaster files. Like,
coaster lives matter.
All of it is great. And it's just weird to me. And I support everyone doing it. They have, I wrote 5 to 7 days of exclusive coaster times, comma, and then wrote nothing else. Oh. I didn't answer that.
Fine.
No, there's more. They have like meetings and events, and like they talk about it, and they like get together. They have like, it's like an entire, like they have far more stuff outside of even just riding roller coasters. So the next one will be, there are two different locations. It's June 18th to 23rd. One at Carowinds in Charlotte, North Carolina, and another one at Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
God, I want to go to Dollywood so bad.
You know all the gays are going to the Tennessee one in Dollywood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Also kind of gay.
And very gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's the gayest thing. I know we just talked about cum for like 30 minutes, but this event at Dollywood is the gayest thing that we've said so far.
Yep. That's where we should set up the cum spin.
We'll
take the Australian daddy bear to Dollywood.
To Dollywood, yes. This is all coming together.
Oh, goodness, Kyle. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Do you have Patreon content?
I have something, yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Do
you want to tease it now? Or
yes.
Tease me.
De-de-de-de-de. That's me playing with its nipples. I'm teasing it. Yeah. I'm going to talk about masculine stereotypes of roller coasters by way of Polly Pocket.
I don't know what that is. So
you'll have to listen to the Patreon episode, Mike. Segment.
I'm ready.
Okay.
This
was an article on the ACE website that I read. So we'll talk a little bit more about that.
I'm gonna charge myself money to listen to it.
Listen to it. It's gonna be real good.
Great.
Excellent. I don't know.
Well, okay. I have a game for you.
Okay.
The title of it is Roller Coaster or Happy Hole Toy. So our friends over at Happy Hole Toys, I looked at their website and wrote down the names of some of the models of their dildos.
Boy, they owe us money.
Yep, that's what Derek was saying too when I was pitching the idea for this. He's like, we talk about them a lot for free.
they got their money's worth, which was $0.
I'm gonna name some things, and you're gonna tell me if you think that this is a roller coaster or a dildo.
Okay.
From Happy Old Toys. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Number one, Goliath.
Wow. I'm gonna go Happy Hole Toy. They got some big things there.
That is at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois. Number two, the Magister.
Okay, since the first one was a roller coaster, I'm gonna just guess this one is a Happy Hole Toy.
That is a Happy Hole Toy. Yeah, it comes in many sizes and it comes in different hardnesses.
Oh, different levels of firmness, like a mattress.
Yeah, all of them do, actually.
What's your sleep number for your dildo?
8 or 9,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Sasquatch.
That's a Happy Hole Toy. They talked about it.
Correct. It is a Happy Hole Toy. It is also at Six Flags Great Escape in Queensbury, New York.
It's
that one's
both. Instead of saying that I got it wrong because I didn't guess that, I'm going to say I got it right and would have no matter what.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I guessed a weird third option.
The Axol, AXOL.
That's got to be a roller coaster.
That is a Happy Hole Toy.
Wow.
The line of dildo is called the Axol.
Okay.
King Daka.
A roller coaster.
That is at Six Flags Great Adventure in New Jersey. The Steel Dragon 2000.
I mean, with the number at the end of it, I think that's a Happy Hole Toy.
That is at Nagashima Spa Land in Japan.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah, that one is a roller coaster.
I mean, Happy Hole Toys, love your names. Also, maybe like go ahead and just look at roller coaster names and grab some of these. These are some great dildo names. That
the Magnum XL 200.
If this is not a dildo, I will sit on the Magnum XL or whatever.
it's a very large roller coaster in Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio.
Okay, no, this is the gayest part about roller coasters is these names. That's not a sex toy? Wow.
The Geo?
Okay, because I'm going to stick with that's a Happy Hole toy.
That is indeed a Happy Hole toy.
These are like, they're all the opposite of what you would expect. Like the Magnum is a roller coaster, the Goliath is a roller coaster, and the like Fuck Me Tron 2000 is like a roller coaster. I don't.
The last one, the Leviathan.
My instinct is that's a Happy Hole toy, so I'm going to say it's a roller coaster.
Correct. It's a roller coaster at Canada's Wonderland.
I'm glad that by the end of this game, I caught on to how it works.
I did not keep score. You won in my heart.
Yay.
I like those games.
That was weird.
I agree with you. The fact that Magnum XL 200 is it's a coaster.
Yeah. Did you just lie this entire time?
No. Happy Hole Toys, everybody.
Happy Hole Toys. They're local.
And very pretty.
And very pretty. Yeah. If that matters to you. Mm-hmm. Just random things that I came across or talk to people about. Like, there is a subreddit called Coaster Bros. Yeah, which is gay. There's both.
I wonder what they think about the cum spin.
They like on the description, it's like it's, you know, gay and roller coasters, and then they also have the little bear. So like, there's something to bears and coasters too. Maybe
that's interesting.
We found a few Instagram accounts of gay coaster gays, but there's one at themepark.gay. And
I love it when shit is just on the nose.
Yeah. Yes.
Like Happy Hole Toys, right? Like, tells you what you need to know.
Yeah. Themepark.gay is a guy named Devin.
Oh,
just Devin's account.
Hey, Devin.
Hi, Devin. This episode is not only for John Crowley, it's for Devin, yeah. I think I decided. Sure. Okay, what's the I even after looking this up and talking about it, I still don't do not know why this is gay and it is.
Yeah.
What do you have like a do you have a final roller coaster thoughts?
I think it's interesting because it's like exciting and lazy at the same time, right? Like all you got to do is just sit there and have fun.
This was actually in the documentary. They were like, not everyone can be a marathon runner. Not everyone can climb a mountain. Not everyone can do this.
Or jump out of an airplane.
Or jump. Mm-hmm. They actually mentioned that. Bungie, like they mentioned all of those things. Not everyone can do that stuff. So this is a thrill that anyone can sit down. Mm-hmm. And do this and you get this kind of thrill. Yeah. And there is, we didn't mention like, oh, I did mention like there is like a count, like, you know, all the coaster folk have their like count of roller coasters they've ridden. And that's like a kind of claim to fame. And so it's, you know, effort and stuff to go do that. But yes. And you're sitting down and everyone can, it's very inclusive in that way. Everyone can sit down and ride a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think, I don't know. Maybe we just decided. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a lot of things in different kinds of culture, but gay culture as well.
Yeah.
Of who fucking knows why? It's just arbitrary, and it happened. Like, why? Yeah. Why are fucking hankies tell you what kind of piss you're into? But like, we just decided that that's the way that we were doing it, and so it happened.
Yeah.
So maybe we just. A critical mass of gays got excited about roller coasters and it turned into a thing and snowballed.
That's true.
The cum spin.
I just thought about the cum spin again. That's what it shouldn't be called, snowballing. It should be called cum spinning.
Oh, God.
In spite of joking about it, I think it's, I do imagine, like someone mentioned, like being made fun of for this. I do imagine, that people might get made fun of and, or like why aren't you growing up? This is a thing for kids. And I think especially what the last few years have taught me is just don't just let people have fun and be yeah. happy. Like if this is what they want to do and spend their time on, and it is a lot of fun, and like I like roller coasters. I want to ride a roller coaster now. I want cum. In that order.
Something that you just said, I'm super down with, which is the idea that gay people do tend to suffer from arrested development. Like our childhood in a lot of ways was taken away from us by trying to navigate the issues of just being a queer kid and all of society's pressures and messages about your value and your worth. I think that there are a lot of like quote unquote childish things that are attractive to gay people because of that arrested development. Which was a good show, but not what I'm talking about. And I could see the like roller coasters, theme parks being oriented to kids as a form of entertainment, appealing to that part of like the broken inner child of a gay person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we kind of didn't get a childhood because we had to spend it with the added weight and anxiety and pressure and bullying and all of this added shit that made our childhoods not what we should have, that what a child deserves like during that time, which is carefree, lighthearted fun. And so to, as an adult, be able to revisit some of that now, hopefully accepting yourself in a better place to be and just kind of embrace both who you are and the things you like. There's something kind of beautiful about revisiting some of those memories as an adult and be like, I missed this as a child. I missed a lot of fun, enjoyable things, and I get to have fun. I get to embrace that inner child that didn't get those things.
Yeah. I get to coaster if I want to.
Coaster if you want to.
Coaster, I barely know her.
Yeah.
Oh God.
that's sound means it's the end of the episode. Yeah.
Did we do it? This is it. Our time has ended or no.
we have, I don't know.
It's time for us to part ways. That's
the thing you said. We have reached the conclusion of this being interesting or something, whatever you said at that.
Did we do it?
I think we did as much as we could have for the topic. I don't think there's more out there that we just may, I don't know. Maybe there's a research study that I didn't find or something, but like, yes, I think we did it.
Great. John, you paid
John,
for this.
This is what she came for. I hope you like it.
Oh God. Do you want to take a break?
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Whee!
Cum spin.
If the cum spin doesn't have merch, we're making cum spin merch.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yeah, so are we back?
Cumsman. We're back. Sorry.
We're back. What are we going to do, Kyle?
Oh, fuck. Sorry, my line. You know where my brain's at. All of us are going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, our website is gayishpodcast.com.
I am half here. We're on social media, and you should follow us. Go to @gayishpodcast wherever.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, is 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109.
Gayest and straightest?
No, local gay bar review. Ooh. Real fast. Yep, this time I'm going to talk to you about The Lookout, which is in the Castro in San Francisco.
There's a place called The Lookout here. In Seattle. It's not a gay bar.
Well, it should be.
Yeah.
Any bar's a gay bar if you bring enough friends, Kyle. The Lookout is, it's been there for a really long time. I've actually gone several times in the course of my 14-year gay history. And, but it's unique in that it is, and I think that's why they named it The Lookout, it is all upstairs and has like these big glass walls that make it like a monster view of the Castro and the city below and
oh, cool.
What's going on. And yeah, the last time that I was there, it was fun because I got to meet with the leadership of Outforce, which is Salesforce's LGBT
employee resource group.
Thank you, ERG. And it was really nice. It's fun, mixed crowd, a little dark and kind of cold when people forget to close the goddamn door, which it says close the goddamn door because it also cuts down the noise and it pisses off the neighbors. Anyway, I like it there. It's fun. 3.5 dildos.
Wow. Why does that feel mean to me, that rating? Seems low for a place you like.
I don't know.
Close the door, people. Let's get another half dildo in there if you close the fucking door.
Some of it, too, I think, might be the fact that, like, San Francisco is so goddamn expensive. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. The lookout here in Seattle is way cheaper.
Yeah.
And it has a nice view. Gayest and straightest?
Let's do our gayest and straightest.
I'll go. My gayest is... I kind of have, I like flopped them a little bit. My gayest is hot. I played darts, but this was one I often, as I mentioned, like I joke about sports, but I know the rules to football. I know how to play football. I know the rules to all these things. I played darts, did not know the rules. So it felt, you know, like anytime you're like, what are we doing? I don't know. What are the rules? How do we do this?
Yeah.
Did not know the rules at all.
Yeah. Well, and darts is one of those things that there's like so many different variations of it. Like it's not just what are the rules of darts.
Yeah. All I know is I got 0 points.
Oh, that seems bad.
That was bad. I don't know the rules, but I think that was bad. This is not golf. My straightest is I went to Into the Woods, the musical. I had never seen it.
Oh.
So this was my very first. I had never seen a production, the movie. I've seen Anna Kendrick doing interviews about it. Yeah. That's pretty gay. But my straightest is it was my very first time seeing it.
What did you think?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It's like act one is laying a lot of groundwork. It's like after act one, I was like, I don't think I like this. It was like all a setup for act two. So like, and yeah, I don't know. It kind of like almost gets there, but not really for me. The Erika Jayne song Roller Coaster. I'm just going to compare everything and say if I like it better or worse than the Erika Jayne song Roller Coaster.
Great. Excellent.
How was your date, Kyle? A little bit better than the Erika Jayne song Roller Coaster. What about you, Mike?
Well, the straightest thing about me this week was going home to Eastern Washington and playing piano in a country western band for the night.
Ooh, yep.
It was, I also realized that, like, there's a lot of songs that I just do not know, but it's okay because all country music is the same. So I just play a different song and it all works out.
People don't know you're playing a different song in the background.
Yeah. Because they're all three chords and easy. Anyway, whatever. And then the gayest thing about me this week at that gig, my brother Murph showed up and he said, quote, "Michael, you're looking particularly gay tonight." To which I curtsied.
Were you? What were you wearing?
Basically my frat outfit from that episode the week before.
I had mentioned it was kind of gay.
Yeah, jeans and a button up and a jacket over it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, it was like gay cowboy vibes or something. Anyway, it doesn't matter. A listener's gayest and straightest. This one comes to us from Discord, and Aigida, who is in our WoW guild as well. Hey, girl, hey.
Hi.
He just went to Florida and, for Disney World stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's on theme. Did you do it in preparation for this episode?
Yep. The straightest thing about him, straightest, seeing so many children at Disney World and thinking I'd like to be a dad with my future partner or husband.
Aww.
Gayest, breeding a married man wearing a Disney daddy shirt in the bathroom after riding in front of him at the safari ride, pointing out all the animals for his kids and wife taking pictures.
What? Wow. You took him on for a cum spin.
Yeah, you did.
Good for you. Thank you to John Crowley for suggesting this episode. I absolutely never would have thought about or picked this topic, and I'm really glad. I just feel like now I know something that I didn't. I'm in on it a little bit. I know something I didn't know before.
Yeah, when we had the meeting with him, we were like, should the episode be about theme parks and do a roller coaster section? And then we took a chance that like, no, we'll roller coasters. We'll just lean in.
Yeah,
and it was pretty interesting. And
great,
so.
Yeah, thanks, John. Also, thank you to the following Super Gap Bridgers: Andrew Bugby, Christopher M., John Crowley, Stephen Porch, Yo Stossel, Harry Shaw, Josh Copeland, Jonathan Montanius, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, James Barrow, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Michael Covington, Just Jamie, Kevin Henderson, Thomas B., Timothy Sora, Dusty Sands, A.E. Coleman, Chris Cacciatorians, and Jerome York. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you for your support. That is it. This has been Gayish. From the Chris Cacciatorians Come Spin, I'm Mike Johnson.
Come Spin McGee. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
Bye.
I'm sorry, I'm getting my... Okay. No,
you may have just sustained the first podcasting injury of
no,
the year.
I accidentally lightly touched my coffee mug into my mic, and I thought...
We have L&I insurance, but it only covers Derek.
Oh, no. I shouldn't L or I. Okay.